Hey, can I talk to you? Over 25 years ago, on September 29th, 1998, we watched a brainy girl with curly hair drop everything to follow a guy she only kind of knew all the way to college. And so began Felicity. My name is Juliette Littman, and I'm a Felicity superfan. Join me, Amanda Foreman, who you may know better as Megan, the roommate, and Greg Grunberg, who you may also know as Sean Blunberg, as the three of us revisit our favorite moments from the show and talk to the people who helped shape it. The rewatch begins on March 13th. Listen to Dear Felicity on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear are so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Jam Session. I'm Juliette Littman.
I'm Amanda Dobbins.
We'll start in the obvious place, which is wishing Kate Middleton a full recovery. Hope she gets to recover in peace. And yeah, wish her the best.
Yeah. What a mess.
Total mess.
What a sad mess, which seemed pretty obvious from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't want to say interesting. It sure was something to watch people over the weekend. And then even today, the women of The View, I noted, came out and they were like, we're very sorry for going into conspiracy theories. But people be like mortified and apologize, which like, I guess, I mean, I don't know if she's hearing that, but sure. But to watch everyone sort of publicly reckon with the absolute silliness that like we all sort of participated in, but like
surely
we like all understood what was going on also, but I guess some people didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to start. I take that back. The clear place to start is what we said, which is like, I hope Kate Middleton gets well. And
yeah, it's incredibly sad. And, you know, she announced that cancer was found after her surgery in a video message that it premiered Friday night on the BBC. And it's her sitting alone on a bench talking directly to camera. And the message is a lot about how everything they've been doing is like how to present it to her three young children. So it's like, you know, and that really hits you in the gut.
Totally.
Because there are three young children who are like probably getting some of this at school and trying to understand what's going on. And she's also like trying to parent three young kids while recovering from major surgery and then starting chemo, which is what she started preventative chemo. So it is, yeah, where to start is like, it's just very sad.
Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts, but luckily I don't really have to share them because the best thing that could be written about this was written today in the New York Times by Tina Brown.
That's my girl.
Yeah, I was like waiting for her to weigh in and so glad she did. And she, you know, speaks to this as a reporter with deep sourcing who's been covering the Royals for like, you know, 40 years basically. And she made some really, really good points.
It is 40 years. You're right. Because The Mouse Who Roared was the year I was born or the year after. So that's tough. Anyway. That was just a moment of mortality for me, but please continue.
My estimate was based on the age of Prince William. So yeah. Yes, contemporary, kind of. He's like a little bit older, I think.
Okay, sorry. We'll come back to that.
Anyway, I definitely recommend reading Tina Brown in the New York Times op-ed section. I feel my personal interest in the story has now like reached a climax and the book has been closed because I read this by Tina Brown that like perfectly encapsulated sort of like how we got here. And she pointed to 2012, which is when England hosted the Olympics. And she kind of pointed out that that Queen Elizabeth II had like a real kind of like victory tour in spanning 2011, 2012 with a visit to Ireland, which was very fraught. And then the marriage of Will and Kate, and then Britain hosting the Olympics, which I always think of as like such an incredible time in sports and like had so much fun covering at Grantland. I've definitely talked about it like many times on this podcast. So I was so excited that Tina Brown pointed to that, but
it was also still a moment where our pop culture was mono enough that
yes.
You all paid attention to it. And so there's that famous like opening to the Olympics where Queen Elizabeth did the video with Daniel Craig as Bond. Mm-hmm. And then someone dressed as Queen Elizabeth like parachutes into the stadium. And yes. So she was like really at the center of this moment that like put Britain back in this world spotlight in a positive light for once after
totally
70 to 500 years of messiness.
And like crucially, that was like a moment of ceremony that has very little to do with diplomacy and politics. So as Tina Brown points out, like that actually would have been a perfect time to bow out. Like we saw happened in Denmark a few months ago. Again, I'm not making that connection. Tina Brown made that connection. Mm-hmm. And she sort of traces how the last, 12 years has been really challenging ever since. And she also crucially has like some information that I haven't seen truly reported anywhere else, which is that Will and Kate are like feeling intense anxiety at having to ascend to the throne sooner than they anticipated and what that means for their kids. And I thought that was like, everything about what Tina Brown wrote is just like so straightforward, but she has the authority and the insight and the reporting to kind of like connect the dots. Plus she's a great writer in a way that's just like kind of sums it all up. And again, like I said, I sort of like now personally feel done with this.
She also, the other paragraph that you highlighted that I thought was very essential was she isolates and she doesn't get into like all the Photoshop nonsense and a lot of like the true internet like lunacy, because a lot of that was just sort of, the people on the internet, the internet can get really wild really fast, as like we have all witnessed many times. But she isolates the press stuff in terms of Prince William. And mm-hmm. I think I was like, I have been stealing from Tina wholesale. Like my understanding of it comes from her, but she like reemphasized that he absolutely hates the press. And is she in like a more generous way is like, it's him who thinks he's above it. And he is the one who has probably been so obstinate about the way they've been handling it that if you perceive any misfires, which like, I don't think that Kate has been served well in the last month by the people around her and by her press office. And there was something like, very moving, but very heartbreaking about it was like a woman with cancer having to like sit on a bench and be like, well, here's what's going on with me. It's like,
it reminded me how infrequently we hear her speak. I can't remember the last time I heard her voice.
Yeah. So, and there are probably ways that there could have been different outcomes, at least in terms of how it was handled in the press. And Charles is like an example right there of like someone who had like literally the exact same thing happen in the same family, but he has a different press office and like a different attitude. And so it went very differently. So like her locating it in William, I thought was significant.
I agree. I thought if such a thing is possible, I felt that she wrote about William with like a kind of very British cold compassion, which is mm-hmm. like an awareness of where he's coming from and like understanding why, but sort of not a lot of like warmth or sentiment towards that position.
Yeah. It's not funny, but it's notable that you identified that. I was, you know, talking about this at dinner with my husband on Saturday night. This has transcended the, you know, culture to an extent that like my it's husband wants watchers. To talk about it. Yeah. Like non-royal watchers are like, oh, so what do you think? And a question that he asked me, he was like, so do you feel any empathy for Prince William right now? And I was like, huh, wow, interesting question. And I was like, I know I should. Like, as a human being, this is a person whose parent is, you know, battling cancer, whose wife has also been diagnosed with cancer. He's about to have to become King of England. And, you know, it's like a lot. As a human, like, you should absolutely have empathy for him. But I had to think about it. And I was like, I don't know whether, it's certainly not where my mind goes first. And it's funny. I think that Tina writes with more empathy, but it is notable still in this situation and everything that, like, quote unquote, we've learned about how to talk about these people and like what a sensitive situation it is. I found myself instinctively like not ready to go there. And I was like,
I completely agree with you. On Saturday, I was talking to my family and my brother was like, I feel really bad that this woman had to like do this in the face of like this internet frenzy. And yeah. I was like, I feel really bad for her that she has cancer and I feel really bad for her family, but I actually don't feel bad that she had to do this. I think it is sad, but it's also like overall, this is a sad situation, but I actually think like this was a good thing to do. And I also think that there is something really meaningful about a famous person who's young, who's like,
yeah,
here's what I'm dealing with.
I agree.
And I thought it was nice and seemed genuine about how she was thinking about other, you know, people who are living with and suffering with cancer.
I feel like we talked about this a couple of weeks ago and I brought up the Angelina Jolie op-ed, which I always think about as something like just an act of celebrity and like public health that I really admire. And I think that like we did that podcast like one day before Olivia Munn announced her cancer diagnosis and everything that she was going through, which I just like deeply admired. And I thought, like, you know, here is a material example. She said that one of the signals or like one of the reasons that she did the extra scan was because she had kids after 30. And apparently that like raises some flag somewhere. And like I, a person who had kids after 30, was suddenly like, oh, okay, so maybe I need to be looking it out it, like in a different way. And like that, like think about how many millions
it's a
of people,
service.
You know, it really is. It's amazing. And so there is like real power and real like saving of lives that happens when you do this stuff. So I think it's good that she did it. I think everyone probably wishes that she didn't have to do it, both because you don't want anyone to have cancer, but also that she'd done it in a different way. Because it does all feel like this got a little out of hand and now we all feel really bad about it. Although, like, are you supposed to feel good about someone being diagnosed with cancer? Like, no. So, yeah, but I agree with you. I really feel for her, but I think also, like, when you're in that position, you really actually can make a difference if you totally. Choose to do it this way.
Totally. And yeah, it's just, you know, I really hope she makes a full recovery. I believe that she will. I think like being in a position to do something preventative is so much better. So that's, you know, I'm not a doctor and I have no information on her medical case other than what's in that video, but I'm choosing to believe that she'll be okay. And yeah, I really just encourage you to watch this, to read this Tina Brown article. And it's, we haven't mentioned one other piece of it, which is like, this is a really dignified, great article from an expert. It's exactly what I'm looking for. And then it includes just one incredibly, like, mean line that is such an incredible segue into talking about what's going on stateside.
I love her so much. It's so funny.
I'm just, you know, she was also talking about, like, why Will and Kate might feel such anxiety about having to, you know, ascend to the throne is also just about like the skinny down monarch, slim down monarchy. I made it a skinny girl margarita.
Sure,
slim down monarchy that Charles has been the advocate of. And I think a lot of people would support just in terms of like funding. Tina Brown makes the point that like if that had gone into effect sooner, there might have been a role for Harry and a different role for Anne, who Princess Royal Anne, who remains sort of like the steadfast figure in the family. And in talking about the current state of Harry and Meghan, She refers to the combination of the Harry and Meghan clown show in Montecito, California. And that is the only swipe, only true swipe of this piece. And man, is it a good one. And also timely, because the reporting that's coming out about American Riviera Orchard okay. is truly astounding. So
this is the one thing about Tina, and like I'm a Tina disciple. I love her, but like her biases are very obvious, and she has always been biased towards William and Kate, and like is like clearly being worked by that palace, and she's like
If you read the Palace Papers, it's clear where her biases, her allegiance lie.
The Palace Papers has the most important prologue of all time, where she sets the whole thing up. And like this second to last paragraph is a quote. And it's like Meghan Markle being like, "I didn't do any research before I joined the royal family," said Meghan Markle. Like paragraph break. "Well, I did." Paragraph break. It's just like, really, I'll never forget it as long as I live. So she is, and she's pretty hard on Harry in that book, which I don't know. I've read his autobiography, so it seems valid to me. But
she agrees.
Yeah, she agrees.
She's anti-spare.
Yeah. But the Flamingo is the reporting from Puck News, from Rachel Sturgatz in Line Sheet on Puck News, is that Meghan Markle, before she launched American Riviera Orchard, which is still, I have to concentrate saying it.
Side note, I've been told there are orchards in Montecito. There's like avocado orchards.
Okay. Well, that's great. I mean, you know.
I was wrong. I apologize.
There's citrus. I guess I don't normally.
No, there's not citrus orchards. There's like other orchards.
Oh, excuse me. Okay. I will say I have.
Sorry.
Okay. All right.
My bad.
Though, if I could fact check your fact check, I have a friend who lives in Santa Barbara, which is near to Montecito.
Yes.
Adjacent. Greater Montecito area, who recently brought us some grapefruits and limes.
Oh, wow.
From her home. Okay. And as well as avocados.
Okay.
So
there's orchards. I was wrong.
Okay. And they grow citrus.
To quote the great Jerry Orbach, "When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong."
Anyway. So before Meghan trademarked American Riviera Orchard and launched something to be determined, but having to do with jams.
I think we can say before she launched an Instagram account.
An Instagram account, right.
That's what we've got. That's what we got so far.
Well, and before she secured a trademark. That's sure. That's it. She was in talks that seemed to be fairly serious based on the fact that she was willing to drive to Highland Park, Los Angeles, more than once, for Meghan Markle to work or to try to work or to invest in some capacity with Flamingo Estate. Now, for those of you not familiar with Flamingo Estate.
Which was me until I read this. I'd never heard of it.
But Juliet, you are, because I have told you about it many times. And I have talked about it on this podcast. I have recommended the Instagram account.
You have.
Because it's absolutely...
Sorry, I forgot.
Right. Okay. But so like you have to understand, it's like all my chickens coming home to roost at once.
And I'm pulling it up as you speak. Keep going.
Okay. So Flamingo Estate is this house, and it's quite literally a mile from my house. It is in Highland Park, Los Angeles, which is like a hip, but like, and very rapidly gentrifying and or gentrified. If you look at the Flamingo Estate account, part of Los Angeles is a home and also, I guess, bath and luxury food products company started by a guy named Richard, who's very good at marketing.
May I read you the bio on Instagram?
Yes.
"Pleasure from the garden, the home and orchard of Richard Christensen and the things we make from it."
Right.
Orchard. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection.
That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
So Flamingo Estates started like 2017, 18, like it was pre-pandemic, and their kind of signature item was this tomato candle. But I think basically this guy bought this house, redid it. It is like, I've never been invited to a party despite really begging everyone I know who goes to parties there to take me. I almost got to go to one, but then it got rained out. Anyway, he bought this house, redecorated it, I think started developing the gardens, and then because he has like a flair for this sort of thing, started selling. At first it was like a candle and then some soaps and some hand soaps.
Can I read you another Instagram?
No. I mean, please, because the Instagram is essential.
This is from March 22nd, 3 days ago. Today, 4 years ago, we started Flamingo Estate, blah, blah, blah. Thank you to our team, blah, blah, blah. Blossomed during COVID. Over 150 products, 125 farms, over 50,000 deliveries. We made honey with LeBron James, a gingerbread house with Kelly Wurstler, jam with Chrissy Teigen, ice buckets with Gaetano Pesce, and so many more. Sesame Street came to visit. And then it says, wow,
really mad, actually, because Sesame Street was fairly recent and there was Flamingo Estate Sesame Street merch. And I was like, I need this for my family.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm wrong. It's even more recent. I would swear that the tomato candle existed before the pandemic. But anyway.
It probably did. You're probably right.
I became aware of them because once the pandemic hit and obviously changed the whole world, but specifically their business plans, they started doing like a CSA. Box with a lot of the farmers and people who they had been in contract with. And like the prices at the beginning were like very reasonable. And I think it was a way of like, these farms don't have their normal ways of selling. And so we have the distribution list. So that was like, so I just started doing their CSA box and it ruled. And then the price started going up and up and up to the point where it became prohibitively expensive for me, but that's okay. It was cool that they did it.
Wow. Richard's walking around in his underwear on this. Oh, no, this is another man.
Oh, yeah.
Underwear.
So there's a whole thing about bathing rituals. And in addition to renovating the house, there's like a whole bathhouse with like blue Moroccan tile.
Wow. This is really something.
And yeah. And so they have candles, bath products. I think the hand soap is like really excellent. And then they started doing like honeys, olive oils, you know. And all sorts of like seasonal things. And because his background is in marketing or advertising or like, you know, creative director, quote unquote, he has all these relationships. So they did a thing where they released honeys from like, as you said, LeBron's garden, but also like Julianne Moore's garden and like several other people 1 year. And then they have their Christmas catalog, which is like,
it kind of sounds like Jay Peterman for women in 2024.
It is. Because I was going to describe the catalog to you as like Jay Peterman or Hammock or Schlemmer or, you know, remember when you would go through all of those ridiculous things. But like the art direction is hilarious and beautiful. and everything looks great. But so one year they were selling this service, Juliet, and it was LA only, but like they would come after Christmas, collect your Christmas tree, mulch it, and then turn it into like your own, I think it was a candle.
Wow, that's cool.
Maybe it was like potpourri, it was something else. But I basically cut out the thing and like posted it in Zach's office. I was just like, how many ways can I hint to you that you need to get this for me? It did not happen. That's
I'm
the
so
other
sorry.
Thing. All they do is like sell things that are like great for extravagant corporate gifts. You know, like you can't really buy anything on your own, like
sure.
for you, for real. Anyway, it's like, and the Instagram, as you have cited, is beautiful. And he has like these David Hockney screens. And one time he just posted the David Hockney screens. And he was like, I met David Hockney once. And I was like, I have all these screens. And David Hockney was like, great. You know, it's like, it's preposterous. And I love it so much. And it's so over the top and absurd, but like in just the right way, you know, like,
yes.
They hit the tone. It's knowing.
It's sort of like how Goop landed in the early days.
Exactly. But and somehow I think it's even like it has a little more flair and is a little more knowing even than Goop, because it's not like they're not out here being like, we're advocating for like women's, you know, health
sure.
and whatever. They're just like, this is luxurious and ridiculous. So they're amazing. I love it. It's absurd, but I recommend the follow at the very least. Meghan Markle was also aware, apparently, made several visits. This is all according to Puck, and was like, maybe we're going to become an investor or maybe going to do some sort of business with them. Flamingo Estate was like, no, thanks. We're good. And so then she is now just launching her version of Flamingo Estate, but without the flair, without any of like the...
Well, we know she has chickens.
Oh my God. But it's just like... there's such a thing as like as style and, you know...
Taste.
And
yeah.
Not even like taste, but self-knowledge and like the ability to carry something off. And I just, she seems to be doing the earnest version of this. And that's like, it's not earnest. Or if it's earnest, it's silly. Do you know what I mean?
I think a recurring part of her output is also a total lack of originality.
Yeah.
And like original sure. creativity. I think to me, that's what's the most galling is like, there's just not an original idea here at all. And
yeah.
So why would anyone care? It's just crazy. It's pretty funny. It's tough.
It's really, really funny. And I also just like want to credit the Puck reporting, which went so deep as to like identify the stack of Flamingo Estate books in the background of one of like Prince Harry's videos
yes.
from like 2023. I mean, that is the attention to detail that we need. You know what I'm saying?
This is a week for us to celebrate great royal reporting, I think,
yeah,
is what we're saying here.
I agree. So that is like just hilarious to me. It's really, really funny. And like, you know, some people may feel like, oh, if you love Flamingo Estate, then why can't you love American Riviera or Orchard? And I just, you know,
because there's like, because well, we haven't seen ARO yet, but
that's true.
I just am not sure it'll have the same kind of genuine elan that you're describing.
Elan is a perfect word, Juliet. Thank you so much for understanding, even though you've blocked all mentions of Flamingo Estate out of your head.
That's the
up
kind
until
of California
now.
Thing that I just like kind of doesn't work for me. I'm not against it, but it's sort of like it kind of falls into the pets category, which is like it's something that's like really popular and a lot of people really care about. And my mind just kind of like goes blank. And I just like think about
it's
I don't
just,
know.
It, I mean
something
it's,
else.
It is like really silly. And it's basically the place exists. Well, they made a rosé.
I just want to be very clear. I'm not
yeah.
anti at all. It's
okay.
just sort of like not something that is that captures my imagination the same way. Like for me, I'm trying to think of like some kind of like lifestyle equivalent. But like, you know, for me, it's like I'm really invested in like water bottles, you know, like so many people. And I just
okay.
feel like, you know what I mean? Like that, I know that's not just me. But like I bought it like in the middle of the night, like my purchase this week was a pitcher that allegedly filters out microplastics that to replace my Brita. And like, I'm just like very focused on like drinking receptacles all the time. You know what I mean? Like, it's just sort of like for you, it's Flamingo State. For me, it's like my water consumption. And again, I say that like, I completely support you and everyone who cares. It just doesn't like mean something to me.
You like nice soap. And here's the...
I'm a Dial girl. Dial hand soap for life.
Okay. But you do like a party, you know?
Sure.
And
this
is the thing. It's like, they just are always... They like are backdrops for all sorts of fashion magazine photo shoots. And then someone's always having some fashion dinner there, like under the stars. And someone's like cooking XYZ. And they're like past hors d'oeuvres. And everyone looks very chic. And I'm like, also, this is like a mile from my house. And I'm like, hors d'oeuvres and being outside and then home before 10. This sounds perfect to me. Just Richard,
it does
sound
nice.
Put me on the list.
It does sound really lovely. And also like a kind of venue where you could like wear a coat and sit outside and be really comfortable, which is like ideal to me.
Yeah.
That sounds great. I will say I was looking at like the brand. I was looking at who I follow that also follows Flamingo Stages now. One of my favorite brands, I'm wearing one of their t-shirts right now, is The Great. And I feel like it's very sort of complimentary branding, The Great.
Yeah.
And Flamingo State.
He's very savvy and he like, and which
lovely,
is what?
Love the tomato branding. It's like really lovely.
I haven't tried
iconography.
I haven't tried the tomato soap yet or the candle. I have the rosemary candle.
I like will really overdo it on tomatoes and then need a break.
I'm ready for tomato season. I was at the farmer's market yesterday and I was just like, I can't buy another squash. You know what I mean?
I don't like squash. Squash and zucchini, I'm not into it. I'm sorry.
Winter squash, I have really come around on, primarily thanks to Ada Lingi, and they're, you know, which is not surprising, but some recipes that have unlocked that for me. But I'm done, you know? I'm ready. I also just like, I'm tired of roasting vegetables. Like, let's bring some things in season. It's tough.
I know. I'm really into this like, I do like a modified Hedy Louis McKinnon tomato recipe where like with subpar tomatoes, I salt them and then grate garlic right on top of them and let it sit for like 20 minutes to draw out some flavor and then add olive oil and then really add anything else you like in a salad. That works really well with bad tomatoes. So okay. Just throwing it out there.
That's good to know. I thought you were going to say that you'd like the Hedy recipe with tomatoes and frozen dumplings and chili crisp. Have you had that salad?
No, but that I do. I have eyed it and it sounds great.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
All right, let's move on to a couple other topics. Okay. I want to share a sick fact. I'm a real sicko because today when I was reading page six, I did think to myself, oh, I feel bad for them regarding the paparazzi pictures of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce from their beach vacation in the Bahamas. And that was not, as we discussed, that was not my first reaction to Kate having to make a video about having cancer. So I have problems.
Yeah. I thought,
just being honest.
I didn't click through on principle, but looked at the thumbnails and I was like, wow, Taylor looks fantastic. Good for her.
She does.
Well, you know, but that's also, I have thought so much about the shape that she has to be in to do Eras Tour.
So she, like, she talked about it in Time.
Four nights a row. Yeah. And like being able to be on the treadmill, but like the stamina is really impressive. So kudos to her. I think that they had a pretty nice time. I did take a tour of their Bahamas house. It looked nice.
Yeah, it looked great. You identified that it's really expensive to date her.
So page six ran another piece with, you know, absolutely no science backing this data, but they estimate that it has cost Travis Kelce $8 million in private jets and suites and such to be dating Taylor Swift.
Does that include the cost of his new home?
Great question. Let's find out. The tabulation, you know,
of course it's
would not pass like the IRS, but
it is tax season.
Yeah. I really have to do that. Yes. It does include real estate, $6 million. So
still
that's
a lot of money,
but still private jet excursions, $1.2 million.
How do we know he's paying for that? Just throwing that out there.
I mean, I hope that he's paying for that. He does make a lot of money.
Sure. Yeah. More than ever with his endorsements.
And I assume since she has a jet, she's not paying for another jet.
I have no idea how the jet works.
I don't
know. Will we ever know that we can't track them on Twitter anymore?
Yeah.
The platform formerly known as Twitter.
I think he probably needs to be paying for it. You know what I mean?
I hope so. I don't know. They have a wild life. They've also been seen at Nobu a lot, but I wish them the best. But like, actually, I'm sort of like also happy to be in a break from them.
Yeah, I wish them the best as well. I also found myself reading a list of all of the Kansas City hotspots that they go to. And then I was
there aren't that many. He's opening a steak place, though.
It was a lot of steakhouses. Yeah. And I was just kind of like, okay, I would really. And then like the break in the steakhouses was like small plates with Brussels sprouts. And I was like, okay, listen, I like Brussels sprouts too, but that would feel limiting to me after a while.
I completely agree. I'm also down with Brussels sprouts for the season. Let's move on, you know?
Oh, yeah. Agree.
So over it. I wanted to share a personal anecdote, which is I went to see a play. I saw two plays last week. I felt very cultured. One was The
really
Hunt,
are.
Starring Tobias Menzies. I love Tobias Menzies.
But that's separate from Manhunter starring Tobias Menzies?
That's correct. The Hunt is a play. Yeah.
What is he hunting in the play?
It's metaphoric. It's like, it's sort of metaphoric. It's good. It's sort of like, I wouldn't say it's the best play I ever saw, but he's phenomenal in it. The production was cool. And I was like, cool, I'm so cultured. And then I saw a second play. I saw The Effect, which is making a 1 month run here in New York. It's written by Lucy Prebble. It's like it's a 10-year-old play. And it stars Papa Seju, who's in I May Destroy You, and Taylor Russell. And I was like, Taylor Russell, her name's so familiar to me. What do I know her from? And then I just like kind of moved on. And then 2 days later, I was like, scrolling paparazzi pictures of Harry Styles. And I was like,
she's dating Harry Styles.
That's why I know her.
Yeah.
And I was just like, how famous do you think Taylor Russell is? Like, where are we on the Taylor Russell fame cycle right now?
I don't know. Jade, do you have your microphone? I feel like this is like our phone a friend, but yeah. This is our phone a Gen Z. How famous is Taylor Russell to you, Jade?
Not famous.
Okay.
Good to know.
Okay.
Good to know.
Yeah, she's an actor.
She is also, I think, a Loewe spokesperson.
Oh, Loewe girl. Yeah, but that's still like it's important to us, niche to the world at large.
I know. Looking at her face, I've seen her before, but I still I don't know her like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Seju was amazing. I'll just throw that. I just wanted to mention that he is so fucking good in this. She was good too, but he was incredible. Okay. Anyway, I was just thinking, like, I feel kind of out of touch with young celebs, but I want to be more in touch. So I need to start paying better attention.
What avenues will you pursue to pay better attention?
I think I need to be reading more about television shows that I don't want to watch, like Summer I Turned Pretty, Outer Banks, things like that.
Right.
Did you catch any of Millie Bobby Brown on Table Manners?
I saw the clips because they have a very video forward social media strategy now. So she leaves reviews I saw under a fake account.
Horrific information. Just absolutely horrible. It's just like she was talking about like ridiculous things too. The fact that she's so famous is wild. I will say with Table Manners, I definitely like prefer imagining the like whatever the setup is like rather than seeing it, which like maybe is counterintuitive, but I've just become so accustomed to like.
But that's another thing where we're showing our age, because all of the Gen Z people just want to watch headphones and a microphone for hours on end.
Not I. Yeah, I just feel really out of touch. And then you were saying you were going to see Ghostbusters.
Sure, just a normal thing for a grown woman to do is to go see
a movie professional.
Ghostbusters on a Monday afternoon by herself.
And I look forward to the Finn Wolfhard report, because I'm just like, what's going to happen with these kids?
I think they're just going to continue being in franchise movies because they have huge social media followings.
I think he's proven to be a bad actor. So like, what's going to happen for Finn?
Yeah,
report back. Okay.
Okay. I will. I'm sure that I will have do you know what's up with the Ghostbusters movie? They like brought all the old Ghostbusters back.
I heard about that. Yeah.
And then it's just, this is a real mess.
But Chris Hemsworth is not in it, right?
No, I don't think so.
No, I'm out. No interest.
Okay.
This is the last one. He was in the girl one.
He was in the girl one. Yeah. Which made more money than both of these. But anyway, here we are.
Right. Here we are. Anyway, please report back on Finn Wolfhard. Okay. I look forward to discussing it next week.
Okay, great. I will.
Thank you to our producer, I'm about to say professor and producer, Jade Whaley.
Yeah, and Gen Z correspondent.
Yes. Get well, Kate Middleton, and we'll be back next week.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.